Welcome to the Parkway Podcast.
But if we think about this in terms of where we are and what we face every day, and we look ahead and we say, oh, I wonder what the millennium reign of Christ is like. And we're standing here today, and we might not have a very good picture of what that's like. But the people who live in the middle of the millennial reign of Christ and they look back and see 2026, they're going to say, those people were dense.
Right.
They just didn't get it. Because what they have is an increased revelation of the Lord and His presence.
Pastor Jay, our lead pastor here at Parkway, recently began the next installment of the sermon series, The Five, a series where we study five main ideas from each book of the Bible. On Sundays, we're digging deeper into the idea of reverence as we study Leviticus. As a resource to help us dig deeper outside of Sunday, we have a Bible study available on Hebrew law. It walks through sacrificial offerings and the feasts. In this two-part podcast series, Pastor Jay partners with Pastor Jim Kent, the leader of our Bible college, to talk more about these ideas. So let's go. First, welcome, Pastor Jay.
It's good to be here.
Pastor Jim.
Thank you so much.
So, Pastor Jay, it's been a minute since we've done one of these episodes. So we're back and digging into a book and topic that often feels overwhelming and no longer applicable today. So why don't you start by sharing your thoughts?
Yeah, we started this journey several years ago. It was actually when I was on an airplane ride going to India that the Lord began dealing with me about, you know, how the modern church is built. Sunday mornings tend to be topical sermons. Or they tend to be a book-by-book study. I was thinking about my son, my youngest son, who's 13 years old now, that if we were to go chapter by chapter in the Bible, verse by verse, by the time he graduated from high school, if we're not careful, we'll have gotten through halfway through Genesis. And so just trying to figure out how to disciple people in this modern-day culture where, you know, the average church attender comes 1.5 times a month. And do we cater to that? Do we, you know, what do we do? How do we missionally do what God's called us to do when He calls us to make disciples? And so this idea on an airplane ride to India came up about what can we do to help spur people on to studying Scripture? And this concept of the five came up. And here we are in a book of Leviticus, where I felt like it's one of those books where you're trying to tell people, I promise it's good. You promise you're going to like it. And at the sitting of this podcast, we've gone through four lessons on Sunday mornings, and the response has been incredible. And so we're so thankful for it. And I want to read a scripture, because I think to start at the end is often really good. The scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And here's what it reads. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in Himself He might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. When you study Leviticus, it's a common kind of misunderstanding about, do these things still apply today? And a lot of the ordinances and laws that we read in Leviticus, it's true to say that they don't apply today, the letter of the law. But the spirit of many of the ordinances and laws that we read in Leviticus do apply today, and that's some of what we're going to be talking about today, these concepts that still apply to us on walking in holiness, walking in reverence, as we've been learning that access doesn't lead to encounter just because. Is that, you know, there's a process by which as believers we're to be sanctified, and as we're sanctified, we get to be walk closer to Him. So we're thankful for that. I do want to note, in front of me, I have like a 200-page document that is entitled, and it's hilarious. It's called Leviticus for Beginners. And when you start thinking about a 200-page document that's 12 type font, that'll tell you how incredibly deep and depth-filled this incredible book is. And so we're going to put some of the links in the descriptions of some of the study materials that we have so that if you desire to go deeper, you're more than welcome to do so. And it's been an incredible book. So Pastor Jim, you've had the opportunity to listen to some of the lessons. What would be your overall take of like context? Do you feel like that word reverence or holiness, are we on the right path when we're studying the book of Leviticus? How would you sort of summarize that?
I think that there is a real need for people to, for us, to have the idea that we are connected to this book. We are not separated from the principles that it teaches in Leviticus. And this is something that we often aren't taught. Mm-hmm. I have appreciated personally so much you're taking on Leviticus as a sermon series. Mm-hmm. And it comes out, I can tell that it comes out of your experience of your love for the Lord and wanting to dive deeper into holiness. And the context comes through clearly that we have a partnership with the Lord in this holiness issue. And as we strive, we try, we develop our faith, that all of that should result in a closer, intimate relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. We are growing up in a modern church culture that oftentimes puts holiness and reverence to the side, and they make the trade because they're wanting to allow the lost people or those people that come to church that are far away from the Lord, they're wanting them to be able to feel more comfortable accessing the presence of the Lord. And we oftentimes say here at Parkway, if we're not careful, we'll allow the visitor to become the idol that causes the presence of the Lord not to come into the room. Because there's you elevate something over another. And a lot of the modern church, what they've done is they've elevated seeker-sensitive, first-time visitors over the encounter that we're supposed mm-hmm. to have with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's been my hope that as we study the book of Leviticus, that we don't overcorrect. We're not after legalism. Mm-hmm. We recognize that it's not by our own works or our own deeds that Jesus loves us. It's the atonement or the payment of Jesus on the cross that gives us the access. But the hope is that we can actually create an environment and an atmosphere where people don't have to come in and feel a set of rules on one side, but also feel something that doesn't have any substance on the other, but they can actually have an encounter with the presence of the Lord. And so you're listening to this podcast. No church is going to be perfect. No pastor is going to do it all the right way all the time. But this church and this ministry is desiring to create a platform where first and foremost, the visitor's not the big deal, the worship team's not the big deal, the pastor's not the focal point, the congregation is not saying, hey, teach us what we want to hear, but we're creating an environment where we are pushing people towards an encounter with the Lord, and that comes through this idea of reverencing and walking in holiness that is only attainable through the sacrifice and atonement of Jesus. And so that's where we're at. The modern-day church is in need of some fixing. But again, I want to be very clear. You're not going to walk into a church and see a sacrificial goat offering. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that we want to create an environment where people understand that though the rules of, or the letter of the law doesn't apply in Leviticus to us anymore, that there is the opportunity to allow the spirit of the law to still cut us in a way where we recognize that we're serving and worshiping a holy God. So maybe Pastor, that's one of the questions that I can ask you. When we talk about a holy God, a God that's seated far above, what are maybe some contextual things that you can help us understand about the God that we serve, the holy God that we serve, maybe even tie it into some of the scriptures that you read in Leviticus? Because oftentimes in the New Testament church or the modern day American church, it's almost like we serve a God who's like Mr. Magoo. Like he's just going to love us no matter what, and his presence is going to be here no matter what. There's no care needed to encounter his presence. But then when you read in the Old Testament, you read that there was a lot of care needed to be able to commune with the holy God. And so what would be some of the framing that you would help us to begin to understand on that?
Well, I think first that comes to my mind is the principle of progressive revelation. And you've spoken to that in your messages, and I think that's really important. because we have this sense that we know way more than those people knew. You know, as a matter of fact, we kind of, it's kind of a prideful attitude sometimes where we think, if I were back there, I would have done it this way. And they are out in the wilderness. The Lord has led them there, and they've seen his hand work, and he has been present with them. And yet they rebel, and they turn away from him, and he has to correct them and bring them back, and they have to find a place of repentance and forgiveness.
Yes.
And they come back, and we think, wow, they're so dense.
Right.
They just didn't get it. And we know more. And the fact is that because of that principle, progressive revelation, the way the Lord did that, we see that with the covenants. The first covenant with Adam, mm-hmm. was very simple. It said, I will be with you every day, and I will provide everything you need. And by the way, here is everything you need. And I'm here to talk to you all the time. And that kind of a position was exactly what we want. And then Adam decided to sin. And so it became a need for another covenant, another way for him to come back and be with the Lord. And now we have this thing as we go through progressive revelation. The Lord reveals more through Abraham, reveals more through the covenant with Moses. Mm-hmm. And we see this this particular period, the Lord was revealing himself in very concrete ways, very definite ways. If you want redemption, here is what you have to do. You have to do this. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do this, you just aren't getting it.
Yep.
You have to do this. And by the way, if you want fellowship with me, it's up to you, but you can do this. This is another sacrifice, another thing that needs to happen. And then we go through this further, and all of these things are pointing to Jesus.
Yes.
They're all pointing to the fact that God is providing a lamb, and that is going to be what actually happens when the next revelation comes. Yes. And then Jesus is there as a person. And this, and then when he's not there, 40 days later, he sends the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And now we have this, the joy of the depth of a relationship that was not even possible. But if we think about this in terms of where we are and what we face every day, and we look ahead and we say, oh, I wonder what the millennium reign of Christ is like. Mm-hmm. And we're standing here today, and we might not have a very good picture of what that's like. But the people who live in the middle of the millennial reign of Christ and they look back and see 2026, they're going to say, those people were dense.
Right.
They just didn't get it, because what they have is an increased revelation of the Lord and his presence. And so we need to be careful. This is the point you talked about with context. Put ourselves not only in context of the Bible, but in context of the time that the Lord has us in his progressive revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful explanation of where we're at currently. And I always have told young people, you know, my years as a youth pastor, how blessed we are to live in the kind of environment that we're living in now, where in some ways, you know, we get to be part of that end time, last day church, to be able to see what God's going to usher through and for. But to have proper context, that when we look back, we shouldn't look back on the book of Leviticus as something that is, you know, archaic or caveman-like, but it does give us clues on how God wants to inhabit and dwell with his people. Mm-hmm. I think one statement that brings clarity is that the New Testament does not require Christians to be ritually pure, but it does require us to be morally pure. And so there's this concept that's floating around in the ethos of the modern American Christian, that if you just check the box on Sunday, or if you just have the tagline where you say, yes, I believe in God, this generic God who yes, I understand my blessings come from him, but there's no part in your life that desires surrender or a relationship, you better be careful, because that's not the God that's been recorded in Scripture. that God has been recorded in Scripture is throughout the covenants, throughout this progressive revelation, he has constantly been chasing after his people. He's been chasing after us to not for us to be able to check a box, but for us to have a relationship with him and commune with him. A lot of people want to know what rules apply in Leviticus today, but don't, today that and the ones that don't. The best way I can describe it in a podcast is there was really three types of laws in the Old Testament. There was civil, ceremonial, and moral laws. The civil and ceremonial laws that you'll read in the book of Leviticus were for that time and for that specific season. And those laws don't ritually apply to us, but they give us the idea that if we're going to commune with the holy God, the set apart God, that we to ourselves have to have a desire to be holy and set apart. You read scriptures in the New Testament that talk about come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, do not love the world nor the things in this world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And when we're talking about the world, we're not talking about necessarily the beauty of nature or the beauty of the sun and stars. We're talking about the systems that have been set up that have caused distractions or detours for us to not be in communion with the Lord. And so those civil and ceremonial laws, although they don't apply to us today ritually, they do give us some clues on how we're to take that relationship with the Lord with reverence and respect and awe. Because though the letter of the law, again, the letter of the law is not for us, we believe that the spirit of the law is for us. And so the civil and ceremonial laws aren't the moral laws. And the reason why we know there's moral laws that still apply today is because there's moral laws like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament that were repeated in the New Testament. And so because they were repeated in the New Testament, and actually some of them, Pastor, a lot harsher.
Yes.
You know, we think that we live in this dispensation of grace as we do, and this grace has given us a credit card to do what we want. Jesus says, man, you've heard that it was said, don't commit adultery. And then Jesus backed that up and said, but I'm going to give you one step further. If you have lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Mm-hmm. So the idea that holiness or a reverence for the things of God has dissipated underneath the new covenant would not be entirely accurate. And so what we have to do is we have to get back to as a believer, understanding that if we want to host the presence of God in our lives and have, as we read in Ephesians, that thus establishing peace. That's that phrase that I wanted to focus on today in the podcast. Man, don't I want the peace of God in my home. Mm-hmm. I want my two boys, Jaden and Jace, to drink off of the nectar of the peace of God. Mm-hmm. Not chaos, not unruliness, not whatever you can sort of form and fashion in your own mind and in your own home, but to have our families drink off of the peace of God only comes when we recognize that comes through reverence and holiness and awe. What would you add to that, Pastor?
Well, that's huge. I think that there's a... there's an aspect of these chapters in Leviticus that you have been presenting on Sundays in the morning that goes to this subject of peace, because it is that basis in God's holiness that actually provides that peace that we seek, that we want. And you talk about this in our home. We want peace in our home. And that is, we think of it often as this peace is the lack of strife that we don't want to see in our homes, and we don't want to have come between us and people, this lack of strife. We want to get out of there. Mm-hmm. And so we sometimes have the temptation to deal with the symptom of what is this strife? Oh, well, I'm angry. And if I'm angry, you know, that might be someone else's fault. So the peace that we have comes from our relationship with a peaceful God. And that peacefulness is being on his side.
Yes.
It is not being in conflict with the God that we serve and trying to come at that from a position of pride and saying that I need to be able to do what I want.
Yes.
This peace that I have comes from my relationship with the Lord. So when I want that, I seek that, and I find it only in Jesus. He says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you." And that peace that I have there is part of that holiness that we find. Jesus said this really clearly. You've mentioned it now, but he said it very clearly, that repeated the words, "Be holy, even as I am holy."
Yes.
And this statement is a requirement. It is not. It's not a suggestion.
Right.
It is what he is asking, telling us to do. Be holy, even as I am holy. Because then the next thing is, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Yes.
And so Leviticus becomes alive. Yes. In that.
Yeah, the idea that holiness, it, again, is the gateway to hosting the presence of the Lord in our life is a kind of message that is not popular amongst modern day, especially mega churches. Hmm. You know, we've tried to make, and I understand why, you're trying to make a relationship with the Lord accessible, but again, access doesn't mean encounter. Mm-hmm. And the desire that we have here is not to just introduce people to the concept of a God or information about God, but to actually be in communion with him and know him. So let's give some practical examples of what we mean by walking in holiness. This concept, if you read Leviticus chapters 11 through 15, there's some very wild and specific content in those chapters that talk about differentiating between the clean and the unclean, or the holy and the common. And this concept that God was trying to teach his chosen people, the people of Israel, was you're going to have to learn how to discern what is from me and what is not from me. And it's important that you understand, and there was like these specific instructions about what kind of animals you can eat and what kind of, you know, all the way from like menstrual cycles to women. To there's passages in Leviticus that talk about men ought not to wear women clothing. Someone asked me one time, well, why did God have to put that in there? And I said, well, because men were wearing women's clothing. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I love how God didn't say go talk to the town therapist, mm-hmm. go talk to the town psychiatrist, go learn your new pronouns. He, as a good father, didn't say anything more than just, stop doing that. That is not what I've called you to live by. Right. And do. And so those kinds of concepts, they transform us, or they get us to the place in the New Testament where we need to be able to use in our own discernment in our daily lives the ideas between what is clean and what is unclean. Let me give you an example that all of you guys would agree with. Pornography in my home causes the atmosphere of my home to be unclean. Mm-hmm. So all of us will nod our heads with that. We'll say, hear, hear, Pastor, we recognize that that is an unclean practice. But many men in their private lives are walking around in a bondage that's causing the people that are around them to look and drink off of the nectar of their life that is not the peace of God. Some people will allow horror movies to be watched in their homes. Mm-hmm. The tenseness, the tense-filled horror movies where there's a lot of murders, there's a lot of, you know, scary things, there's a lot of spirits that are allowed in your home. Now, you can say that this kind of talk is legalistic. You can say that this kind of talk doesn't, you know, those kinds of things don't affect you. What I would challenge you as you're driving to work today, as you're maybe you're cooking dinner for your family tonight, I would just challenge you that if God has always tried to teach his sons and daughters the difference between clean and unclean, holy or uncommon, why don't you think that the presence of God is actually being hosted in our homes? Do you think the Holy Spirit, not the sort of Holy Spirit, not the kind of Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit being hosted in our homes, do you think he's going to, if he was a person, which he is, sitting next to us, as we're watching the filth on the television, or we're watching the filth coming from YouTube, the Holy Spirit is going to inhabit an atmosphere where there's a striving for the holiness of God. These are, again, these are things that Christians should not be consuming if they're striving to be pure. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful in your personal walk that, as my pastor would tell us, if I watch what they watch, if I look at what they look at, if I hear and listen to what they listen to, if I put the hands to what they put their hands to, speaking of the world, what makes us any different as a child of God, those of us who are supposed to be saved, sanctified, and set apart, what makes us any different than the world? Like, what are we inviting them to? Are we inviting them to a similar kind of existence where we can give them a get-out-of-jail-free card? I don't believe that the peace of heaven is going to be something that is just promised and given one day. I believe that the peace of heaven as we serve the Lord today can be promised and given in our homes, in our relationships, in our lives. And so that's my hope. My hope is that you, as you walk through this book of Leviticus, yes, the ritual cleansing requirements, as we just read in Ephesians, are not and do not apply to us. But if you want the peace of God to rule in your heart and your lives, there's going to have to come a reverence and an awe for a holy God where you and your life do your best to host him on a daily basis. Because in the end, your family's going to win, your marriages are going to win, your life's going to win if the Holy Spirit's a part of our day-to-day life. Pastor, one final word, a couple final words, what would you say?
So I think that you just really touched on the essence of this. When you talked about the focus of our church and as compared to, say, what we think of as a mega church, or what the focus of our church is different in that we are trying to get the believers that fellowship with us and that we're a part of our family to want to grow in their relationship with the Lord,
yes,
in a way that brings them to that point where holiness becomes a reality, not a concept.
Yes,
this is the difference between us saying, "Oh, someone accepted Jesus," and that's as far as they're going to go.
Yep.
For the attitude of our church to be that what our primary focus is to get people to that point of living a life so close to the Lord that this concept of holiness is not abstract.
Yes.
And this is the thing when you're talking about Leviticus and we're going through these sacrifices and all of that stuff that's challenging for us to get our heads around, that God was making in that time a concrete example of what is an abstract concept because he was trying to get them to understand it.
Yes.
And when we come to church and we sit and listen to our pastor preach a good, powerful sermon that leads us to a new position spiritually, and we raise our hands and we sing and we pray, and then we go home and live exactly like the world.
Yep.
We are not at the point where we are disciples of Christ. We are at the point where we are spectating and watching other people be disciples of Christ. And I want our church, I want our people, I want everybody in the family to be wanting to move forward, and probably you who are listening to this are those people.
Yes.
You want to move forward in your faith, and you want to have this thing where you can say, Lord, help me, because I can't be holy without you.
Yes.
And this is where we come to in Leviticus. We see this, we say, oh, what do I do? It comes down to reframing that question into not what do I do,
yes,
but what do you make me? How do you make me this person that you want me to be?
Yes.
And that's what I would hope that we are all seeking as we go through the book of Leviticus.
Yes, let's give Jesus the final words, okay? I think that's always a good practice. Jesus, when being asked some questions about the law and the ceremonial laws, and specifically asking about food, he basically summarized this aspect of, we don't need to be concerned anymore for spiritual reasons what food we consume, but rather what words, ideas, and images we consume, and what words and ideas come out of our mouths. Listen to what he says in Matthew 15, 17, and 18. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and it's those things that defile the man. So Jesus very pointedly says, I still need you to pursue purity, but your purity is not going to be what you consume. Your purity that you're after is the thing that is at the center of your being. On, do you have a heart that wants to honor God, or do you want to have a heart that wants to honor yourself? And so Jesus, the final words in the final words of this podcast, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and it's those things that defile the man. This pastor's praying for you as you strive to be in relationship with your Heavenly Father. The presence of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, is going to be with you, and we want Him to cohabitate with you, and that cohabitation takes place not because, again, you accepted or you made a tepid decision. The Holy Spirit inhabitates you, dwells with you and your family as you become a sincere, dedicated follower of Jesus. And that's how you become the disciple that God wants you to be. This pastor loves you. Let's go chase after him.
Thank you, Pastor Jay. And thank you, Pastor Jim, for this conversation. If you are listening, listener, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to listen to those episodes from our sermon series on Leviticus, you can access the links here in the show notes, wherever you're listening to this podcast, or you can access it online at parkwaycc.com/sermons. And if you would like to dig into that Bible study, you can also find those links in all the same places, right here in the show notes and within each episode at parkwaycc.com/sermons. Thank you.